I'm going to give you a minute to just read that, for those of you who can. The charm of fishing is that it is the pursuit of what is elusive but attainable, our perpetual series of occasions of hope. Really like that. I don't fish, I just need to tell you that. I find it boring, but I do like to eat fish. As you know, I was away on sabbatical, and I did a number of things. I went on a big, long trip, and this story actually comes from sort of the end of the trip, but I went to a place called Lake Como. So Lake Como is in the north part of Italy. There's three lakes nearby, and they call it the Running Man, right? And I stayed in a little town called Liurna. There's now a train that goes up the east side, this highway, but it used to be very different. So it's still, many of these houses are 500, 600 years old, right? Maybe older, some of them. People by Lake Como, they will build on anything flat. It doesn't have to be big. It may not be flat. This would be considered a huge space that was flat on which to build a house. There's almost nowhere in Liurna that's as flat as this. One of the best ways to get around on the lake, especially for a tourist where time isn't quite such an issue, is by boat. The ferry comes in here. Oh, thank you. The ferry comes in here. Figuring out the ferry schedule is very difficult. The best way to figure it out in Liurna is to go ask the baker. Bread, buns, tourist advice, offered at length and freely, as long as you buy bread. Liurna has a very traditional graveyard. Requiem Aeternam. Rest in peace, it says. And it has a beautiful church. There we go. It has extremely narrow streets. Some of them are so steep, there are stairs. Now, this is an interesting street. I'm from Canada. I come to this street. I don't think it's a street, right? I think it is a pedestrian place, you know, a sidewalk or something. So we came down and we're walking in the middle of the road and we can hear a scooter coming. But we can also hear something else. And two girls come up, rise up on a scooter with their, and one of them on the back with her arms outstretched is singing. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. And they zoom past us. So clearly tourists, because they're singing in English, with Canadian accents, all right? But they weren't the only people doing that. Anything that might be wide enough for a car, they will try it. They're, like, I'm serious when I say there might be an inch on either side. Liurna is a lovely little town, and it has several beaches. It has one very, very nice beach. At the end of all of our days, we went to the beach. Now, I would like you to look at this picture and tell me who owns the beach. The geese. The geese own the beach. They've been there for years. They absolutely own the beach. And if you are in the wrong place when they would like to be there, they will let you know. They will let you know aggressively and at length. They will argue with you for a great deal of time, and if you do not move, they will bite you repeatedly. They will steal your food, your blanket. They will steal anything that is not nailed down. But if you just say, I'm terribly sorry, and bow, they and move out of their way and move your things, you're good. So we went every night. And on the weekends, it's a zoo. But Thursday was very quiet. And we came on Thursday, and there were people with nets. Now, these are really interesting nets. You take a long stick, it's about twice as long as this, but this gives you an idea. And you have some wires, and you have a flat net. And you get a rock or a backpack or something like that. You take your beer out of the backpack first, just so you know. And you rest your stick, and you rest the net under the water on the bottom. And then you wait. And wait. And wait. This is about the point that Ian and I decided that we would go to the pizza place next door to watch, right? And you wait. And then people stand up, okay? And they get ready, and they watch. Now, all the time, I have to tell you, we are watching some fairly good-sized fish swimming. These big fish, they carefully avoid the nets. They go around. And so we're waiting for one of the fishermen to catch one of these big fish. Mm-mm. The fishermen are not after the big fish. All of a sudden, all of the fishermen stand up like that. And all of a sudden, they carefully take the ends of the stick. Yeah. And okay, can you make that noise again? Just right now? Seriously. Can you go? Like they go like that. And in the net is all these little tiny fish. Little tiny fish. And they scoop them up from the beach and they put them in a bag. And they do it again. And then they have enough for supper. And they pack everything up and they pack away the nets and everything like that. Fishermen are there. They have children with them sometimes to teach them how to do that. Older brothers teaching younger brothers. They have been fishing with poles like this, sort of similar to this, for more than 1,000 years. People think maybe 2,000 years they've been fishing these waters like that. Remember I told you about tradition? That tradition is something that we hand on alive. There is a tradition in the United Church, in the Christian Church, about talking about the importance of fishing as a metaphor for the Christian life. There's a lot of waiting. You may only get it just enough for supper, not enough to make you rich. It can be very peaceful or very busy. There can be geese that, you know, tell you that you're in the wrong place. But it seemed to me that one of the important things was that the people that Jesus was catching up weren't the big fish. It was all these little fish looking to make something else. Now, these fishermen, they're going to go home and make supper. And we also have a long tradition, because Jesus used to cook. Jesus was a good cook. Jesus used to cook for his disciples on the beach. And that's just about what he used to cook, that kind of thing. And at evening, after all of that, when it's been 31 degrees, and it's been terribly hot, and people have worked hard, they went home. And Ian and I walked home, remembering that we had been part of a tradition that was handed on and handed on and handed on. And you might think that this was far from us. But just before we went away on our holiday, we went to visit a friend in Victoria. This happens here too, but I was amused in Victoria because she has a house or she lives in a place that is not far from the beach. in Victoria, and in the mornings, even sometimes in the wintertime, she goes out on a paddleboard, drops a crab trap, goes to work, comes back, goes out on the paddleboard, and goes and gets dinner. There's this thing that we have around the world that which means that fishing in some way or another is meaningful in almost every culture. We kind of understand what it means. We get divorced from it, and sometimes we may spend a bit too much time in really high-speed boats or something like that. But that sense of waiting for something that may feed us for the day or feed our families for the day is an important thing to remember. It seemed interesting to me today, too, to be talking about the importance of water. In Pakistan, India, Mumbai, the floods are so extreme that thousands of people have died. We haven't even heard about it. Houston, we've heard about. There are fires in this province where people are praying for water, even as we enjoy the end of summer. Hold all of those in your heart. Remember with joy the fishermen of Liurna who take a moment or two, a few hours of peace and quiet in the middle of their week. Take a few hours this week of peace and quiet.